Hello and welcome to the third episode of the Cross Conference Cast. It was recorded April 1st, 2010. For show notes and more, don't forget to check out the blog, crossconference.wordpress.com. Also, feel free to contact us by email, crossconference@gmail.com.
I met this girl on Baltic Avenue. You can tell now she steps on boardwalk. She was from Park Place. I asked her.
On this episode, we discuss the U.S. Women's National Team Games versus Mexico, the recent U-17 qualifying tournament, WTF Kerry Hanks, WPS preseason, the changes to the All-Star game format, whose hair is the prettiest, the WPS fantasy game, and we give away another Twitter award to a deserving player. Household was not enough. No. Hey, I'm Joan.
I'm Ruth.
We have a lot to cover, so we're going to go jump right into it and talk about the U.S. Women's National Team games versus Mexico. Okay, so the first Mexico game in San Diego, I thought the roster was a little bit unusual. They had 5 forwards, but it was good because we had a lot of young forwards getting tried out, including Alex Morgan with her first cap and Kelly O'Hara with her first cap.
Yay!
And I think they both did fairly well. I mean, there was nothing amazing, but I mean,
they didn't do any worse than A-Rod.
Oh, that's awful. I mean, A-Rod did okay for, you know, she got a goal in San Diego, and so that was good. And people are talking, oh, you know, she's got her monkey off the back or whatever. And it's like, I don't know. She's had plenty of starts, and this was Mexico, and that was pretty much a gimme, in my opinion. I don't know. That goal, it didn't blow me away. And the young players did pretty well. O'Hara, Morgan, Brittany Taylor got in. Did she get in? I think she got in again in Sandy, Utah. And that was good. It was good. It's good to see the kids. But on the other side of the kids, I mean, other side of the, I don't know, the spectrum of ages, Christine Lilly, the oldest, she's now played in 4 different decades. And I don't know, the phrasing of that is so weird that I kept thinking that people were saying she's been playing for 4 decades, but that's not true. And she looked good. Like, she didn't look any worse than she's like ever looked. She looked pretty sharp, that cheeky little flick, which she's done those before, and I don't think they've ever worked. It was good. I mean, if the goalkeeper was not, you know, on her
in
game,
the goal,
that would have gone in. It's good to see a little bit of flair. But when she sticks to her fundamentals, she's really the best. But she looked a great deal better than Carly Lloyd, than Yael Averbuch, and to a great certain extent, Lori Lindsay. You know, 3 players who have proven themselves in the WPS, sort of, I guess. So I don't know about the whole retirement thing, because I didn't get to watch every single minute of both games. I don't know if anybody discussed the idea that she would retire, and or if she's going to keep trying for the next World Cup. So that was that. And Abby Wambach was good. She's they're very solid, doing her standard, really good, high level job. I mean, there's nothing really to say against about the defense, because it's Mexico. To that end, Mexico, if any team has taken a step back that we've played regularly, it's definitely Mexico. I can't say exactly why. I mean, it's the same coach.
I think the personnel is different. I mean, I didn't watch, but I heard that Aris Mora didn't play, and I think she was a regular for them, and I think I read that they had 5 U-20s brought up, which, I mean, they've been playing what's her name, Corral, for a few years now, since she was what, like 10 or 12.
No, I think she was 8 when they started. Her first cap was at 8,
right? And it was probably against us. And I'm sure she must have been on their roster, because she's a regular now too. But I mean, they keep getting younger. And their veteran players keep disappearing. Although we know where Monica Gonzalez is, we just don't know why she's not with the team.
She seems happy in her retirement, sort of. But Maribel Dominguez came back, and she's not really fit yet. It's good to see her back. I'm a big fan of Maribel from when she was playing on the Atlanta Beat. I wonder if she'll come back to the WPS. I mean, it's good that she's playing regularly in Spain, but, you know, Spain is not Germany. It's not the U.S. It's not Sweden. It's Spain. I can't blame her for wanting to stay in Spain. I mean, I've seen what the Spanish look like.
She might not have a shot in the WPS yet, not with the international, five international cap.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. And considering the depth of talent, I mean, it's like Maribel Dominguez, Cristiani. There's a gap there. That was the Mexico games, and I think that's what we kind of learned. I mean, you can't really learn much from those games because it's against a team that hasn't really played together. They're not really preparing for anything. Maybe for a World Cup qualification, but that's much later on. You know, they don't play together. It's maybe some college kids. But I guess what I mostly take away is nothing about the U.S. and more about how sad I feel that Mexico hasn't taken the steps forward that I know they can take and become really, you know, and to make, you know, the North American region, you know, even more competitive, you know, outside of the U.S. and Canada.
I think they might have a shot in another 4 years for the next World Cup qualifying. Like, if they don't do it this time... I mean, they called up five U-20s, and their U-20s did make it to, they did qualify for the U-20 World Cup, and they look decent, and they've got Garcia Mendez, who plays for Stanford, from what I hear, she was marking Wambach, at least in the first of the two Mexico games, and I think she's probably a decent defender, and probably the experience at Stanford's going to be a big asset to her, and Mexico, especially since she's capped with them now. She won't be switching.
Yeah. And there is things to grow on because in the U-17 tournament, Mexico qualified, and as did Canada, where the U.S. did not. And since I have a grown-up job, I didn't get to watch those games. I left it to you because I know you know a little bit more about the players on that team and that tournament, and you got to watch those games. So why don't you tell me a little bit about what happened there?
Oh, geez, what did happen there? Well, we opened the tournament, so we played Haiti, and the team looked pretty good, pretty energetic in that first game. I mean, it was a typical first game for a U.S. team. The other two games, they seemed to be okay. The second game was pretty much a completely different lineup. The third game was sort of a mixture. I don't know that there's anything we can really take away from the group stage other than this team looked really good, and maybe they just weren't challenged enough, and they came up against Canada in the once they got out of group stage. And that was a much tighter game for them. I had started to watch a couple of the games that Canada played in group, and I wasn't really impressed. They obviously didn't dominate the way we did. I felt like they fouled a lot. Not that the fouls were called, but they had some really rough play, even for the scrappy Canadians going on. So I didn't manage to watch pretty much any of those games all the way through. But the U.S.-Canada game, when it happened, looked like a typical U.S.-Canada game.
It's good to know we keep that tradition alive.
Yeah. But it was weird. It was like watching a completely different U.S. team than we saw on the group stage. The energy was not there. The subbing was unimpressive. Canada, you know, studied us and knew what to do, and I think not that I want to say the U-17s got lazy, but they are U-17s. maybe they got overconfident. Maybe they got used to the cakewalk of the first round. And it ended up going to overtime. It ended up going to PKs. You know, we traditionally don't have good luck in PKs. the poor keeper, Haberlern.
1999 notwithstanding.
Oh, yeah. 1999 notwithstanding. I mean at the youth level.
Or withstanding. Is it withstanding or not withstanding? I don't know. Withstanding. It's withstanding.
Ignore 1999. in 2006, our under-20 team went to fourth place at the World Cup because we suck at PKs.
You know, on the bright side now, that team is not, like, the lowest qualifying U.S. women's team ever. So
yeah, this is the first time we haven't qualified for a women's tournament, which I don't know that necessarily. I mean, yeah, it's not an awesome thing for this team to have experienced, but at the same time, I don't think it's a bad team. I think the team needs to grow and mature, and I'll be eager to see them play at the U20 level. There were good players. That stood out to me. Olivia Brannon, especially in the first game, I thought she stood out, and considering that was a good game for most of the players, the fact that she stood out, I think it was pretty impressive. She seemed to be somehow involved in most of the goals that were scored. I thought Abigail Dahlkemper had a pretty solid tournament. She ended up co-captaining with Morgan Bryan, and I thought that Dahlkemper, I liked her better as captain. Morgan Bryan seemed very deflated after the loss, and you could kind of see that in the third place match against Costa Rica.
Who's she committed to, Morgan Bryan?
Georgia. Yeah, Morgan Bryan's committed to Georgia. Olivia Brannon, I think, is committed to University of Virginia. A couple of them are committed, and I can't really remember the others off the top of my head. There are a couple of Stanford players. I think the player that missed her PK, Wiedemeyer, she's committed to Stanford. Sorry, Stanford. Well, I'm sort of thinking that Haberlern, the keeper for the game against Canada. She looks like she'll probably end up at UCLA, you know, following Val Henderson's footsteps. I mean, not that we got to see our keepers much, but I thought she seemed like a decent keeper, as little as we saw of her. And Ellis seems to have a thing for keepers that can't take a PK shootout. So
yeah, something about that.
I think there were a couple of other players that should probably commit to UCLA too.
Everyone should just
no specific ones. Lindsay Horan, she had a lousy first game. I think she had a lousy tournament. She did score goals. I think she had four goals in one of the games, but when she wasn't scoring goals, she was really missing them. And Taylor Smith was sort of like, she was like a Tasmanian devil and just kept running and running. And clearly, you know, she had the speed and whatever, but she had no aim. Neither of those two players got subbed out early enough. Just because they have the energy to stay in doesn't mean that they're going to suddenly start scoring. I would have subbed them out sooner. Clearly, my opinion matters.
Yeah. How did you feel about the coaching? I feel like some of what happened in 2006 was definitely Tim Schultz's fault.
I don't think it was as blatantly a coaching issue this time. The starters for the first game were really clearly supposed to be our starters throughout the tournament, at least most of them. And the players in the second game, the starters in the second game, seemed fairly second string, despite the result. And I think that was a good chance to give the second string, you know, some games. I mean, group play was really not challenging. It might have been partially a coaching issue, but I think it was also the kids got complacent and they had to play Canada. That was not a game we should have lost, but we did. And, you know, like everyone's been saying, soccer's a cruel game. You lose one game and you're done. They lost one game and they're done. Although I think they play this weekend. I think they play Saturday.
But we're done with this.
Sorry, that took a long time.
So last podcast, we talked a little bit about what Karen Hanks is up to, and she had been let go from Sky Blue FC and then picked up by Philadelphia, and we had ended on that. But of course, what was it? Just a couple hours after we had discussed that, did she leave Philadelphia on her own? Yeah, she left Philadelphia on her own, went to Atlanta, on some sort of vision quest. I don't know, like, what was going on there.
Because it's warmer down there.
And she scored some goals in some exhibition games for Atlanta. And then on March 26th, just a mere, 5 days ago, she was released from Atlanta. And now no one knows where she is. If you or someone you know has information about Carrie Hinks' whereabouts, please... please contact us.
Or if you have a chance to talk to her, please let her know that FC Gold Pride in the Bay Area, which is California, which is sometimes warmer than St. Louis, has an opening. And granted, it's a developmental spot, but everyone knows that the developmental spots in the WPS didn't mean anything last year. And everybody played.
Yeah, so if anybody can tell us just what the heck is going on with Carrie Hanks, because it seems like a shame for someone who's won the Mac Herman twice to just sort of go out like
she
that.
She hasn't even played for all the WPS teams yet. How does she know which one she won't like?
Yeah, try them on. Like a pair of shoes.
Take it for a test drive.
So most, if not all, of the WPS preseason games have been played. A lot of interesting things happened, and the rosters have been finalized. The Red Stars played Notre Dame, and Kelsey Davis played in goal for the whole game, and they won. And Kate Markgraf apparently playing the whole game, doing great. I'm excited about that. Love Kate Markgraf. More on that later. Do you have anything to say about the preseason games?
Not really. I'm hoping to go see Chicago play against U of I this Saturday. I'm really excited to see Kelsey play. But other than that, I mean, I feel like preseason has sort of taunted me because everyone has been beating UNC so soundly. And that just I know it's going to break my heart in the fall because UNC is not going to suck as much as they do right now. You know, is that too much to ask that UNC has more than 3 losses in the season and doesn't take home the stupid championship? Ooh, I sound bitter.
You do kind of sound a little bit of the bitter herb since it is Passover season. Okay, so opening day rosters. To me, it seems like all of the rosters are really, really solid, and none of the teams had anything really surprising going on. Did you see anything surprising? I mean, I see that a lot of the rookies that didn't get announced as, you know, signing are on rosters, so, I mean, I guess that's...
Let's see. Boston let go of the only 2 rookies they had that I cared about. Well, that's not true. I care about Nair, but I don't really consider her a rookie. They let go of Gina DiMartino and Catherine Reynolds, and both of them went to Philadelphia and ended up in developmental spots. FC Gold Pride released Nikki Cross, who they had picked up as a free agent, I think. And that was a really last-minute move by them. And she's on the St. Louis roster now because St. Louis lost Larson to injury. She was one of their draft picks. I don't know that there were any more cuts or keeps that really surprised me, but I have no idea what Washington, D.C. is doing with their keeper situation. I thought they learned last year, and clearly they didn't, because Scurry is still the backup keeper, and they have McCray in there as the developmental, which seems really backwards. I don't know. Did they just like stop paying attention to whether or not Scurry can get on the field without a cane, or...
That's a little rough.
Okay, now. Okay. Yeah, not an age issue.
Below the belt.
None of her showings last year were any good. There has got to be a backup keeper somewhere or a developmental keeper somewhere that is better than Scurry. And I don't understand that. But hey, if that's what Washington wants to do, then by all means.
Yeah, I mean, for Brianna Scurry's sake, I hope that they're not keeping her on just for the name thing, in a way, because...
I thought that's what they were doing last year.
Because of what she's done for soccer in the United States, it's like, she deserves better than to just, I don't know, be sort of a name trotted out. And, I mean, if she's happy, that's great. If the team is happy, if they're happy with what she can give them in terms of development off the field, I don't think she'd ever start.
Well, I don't know when qualifiers are. And Canada has games against Germany this summer, or at least one game against Germany this summer, so she's going to have to miss something. McLeod.
Yeah, Erin McLeod. So I honestly don't know that situation, but I mean, otherwise, I think Washington, like I said before, they look the strongest in terms of veterans and in terms of people who have played together. Like, they have so much, like, cohesiveness. And I look at, like, Chicago has, I think, a really, really great roster. It's just putting all these, you know, really wonderful pieces together. In a way, I feel like it's like having really wonderful ingredients, like a really tasty donut and some bacon and some miso paste. But, you know, that's not, I don't know that that's necessarily going to, that's going to be the best complete flavor.
whereas like FC Gold Pride is, you got a lot of Easter candy there. But if you gorge yourself, you're going to be sick.
I mean, they look good. And you want Carrie Hanks to go there?
Well, they're the only ones that I know of that have a spot left. And as long as they're collecting forwards and goal scorers, I mean, hey, what's one more, yeah, really?
Captain Waz, when did you add that?
Oh, I added that right before the podcast. Apparently she captained for Atlanta against UNC, and I don't know if she's captained in any of their other games, but that was surprising to see her with the armband. So let's keep an eye on that.
Yeah, Waz, by Waz we mean Angie Woznick, now Angie Kerr.
I think it's Kerr.
Yeah. That's gonna take some getting used to. So that's the WPS preseason.
It's almost over.
Yeah, and in the meantime the WPS announced some changes to the All-Star game selections. And I'm not sure that I still quite understand it, but apparently the captains of the international and U.S. Team. Oh, wait, no. What is it? It's the two highest vote getters for international and U.S. players will be the captains or something.
Right, so it's whoever makes it out to the playground first gets to pick the teams.
Right. God, you see, you understand this so much more than I do.
I'm younger. I remember more.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. You do. I'm jaded, and I yell at teenagers with their loud voices. No. Yeah, I mean it's cute and everything, but it's a little too cute. Yeah. So they get to be the captains, and then they choose the rest of their team. Is that correct? Am I correct?
And they're going to be 15-minute halves, and at the end, everyone has to, you know, line up and process in. But you have to get quiet first.
Raise your hand. And yeah, and then at the end, the people we don't look like get put into every page of our slam book. yeah, and it's in Atlanta. Okay, so but yeah, it's so confusing to me. I'm waiting for the, you know, like the secret rules, like, you know, when you were a kid to play those games, like, oh no, it's a secret rule, like if I touch the ground 3 times in a row, you have to freeze in place. So I don't yeah.
They should play All-Star Dodgeball instead.
All-Star Calvin Ball, really.
Oh, yes. Now, wouldn't that be the best? Can't you just picture, I mean, Marta and Abby Wambach, because you know they're going to be the top vote getters. Can't you just picture them out there playing Calvin Ball?
I can. And like, oh, I'm going so slow, I'm moving backwards. and yeah,
Tuna and peanut butter sandwiches.
Yeah, there should be some mocking involved. Speaking of mocking, let's talk a little bit about the headshots that got released and some
FC
of the hair.
Gold Pride is the prettiest.
Are they? I thought they didn't release.
I think theirs went up today or yesterday. And they all have really nice hair. They could win.
They do.
They could win the season on that alone.
Yeah. let's talk a little bit about this hair, because I am confused and in some cases distraught about what I've seen. Kelly O'Hara's hair is really pretty.
It is. And clearly Becky Edwards was going for that look as well.
Yeah, everyone looks great. They look shiny. They look a little too nice. I mean, like, they look a little Stepford. If you ask me at this point, like, everybody's a little too put together here.
Well,
like,
hey, at least if we end up at the bottom of the table, we will have the best starting 11 pictures.
That's true. Look at how great they look. I guess to pick out things like Atlanta, I'm looking now and they, like, I gotta say.
I don't even have to look to know the worst three with the hair.
You don't even have to look, you can just guess.
Justin Angie. Bieber.
Atlanta. Angie. We're gonna have to have a discussion about what's happening there. Maybe you've been watching a little bit too much Cougar Town, but like, or Desperate Housewives. I don't know. And I looked at Boston, and for a player that I think is great. Amy LaPelvet is looking a little Justin Bieberish, maybe that's something that's going to work considering the 13-year-old girls. I don't know. They mean, like, Justin Bieber's playing? What?
Well, they get the 13-year-old girls anyways.
Maybe they'll get more rappers that way. Oh, that's true. That's right. Maybe they'll attract Drake. Tiffany Weimer would like that.
Tiffany Weimer's looking good.
Yeah. Chicago. What can we say about Chicago?
Kelsey Davis
looks great. She looks great.
She does.
Everybody looks great. With I won't say Megan Rapinoe's hair doesn't look great. I mean, it looks interesting.
No, but she looks ill, which
she
was ill, because that's why she missed the games.
That's true. Maybe, I don't know, there's something interesting, like, it's going, there's something, I don't know,
there's a
something
stiff
something
breeze.
Happening things, yeah, things are going in different, maybe she's getting blown by fans on all sides. I don't know, because I make a point of this because I'm a big fan of what she does on the field. I think she's interesting enough to warrant discussing about her hair off the field, and I've seen it better. I've seen it good.
Megan Rapinoe, please stop it. Just because I have to hear about your hair all year, every year.
I'm sorry. I am so sorry. No, we're going to cut this out. We're definitely going to cut this out.
Really?
This is not funny. Because it's not, like, we can't comfortably...
criticize their hair?
Get a flow to this. Because we'd have to talk about everybody and...
Let's just highlight Joanna Loman. I mean, we at least have to mention out of the headshots, we have to mention Joanna Loman and her hair, because we spent all of last season, you know, that was the reason for us to watch Washington play, was to see what Loman had done with her hair, because we had kind of seen a little bit with the time she spent in Sweden, and it was just really interesting that she brought it back home to the U.S. Really daring and bold and worth tracking throughout those months.
Definitely.
And I think Natalie Spilger, I don't know. They said that you pronounce it differently now.
I'm going to do Spilger.
Me too. It sounds better. Sorry. Whoops. Yeah, I think, and Natalie Spilger had something to do with that. So we can thank her and thank her for not doing her hair the same way, at least during the season.
Yeah. Her hair looks good. Yeah. Looks good.
And I hope that helps Loman on the field, because she's apparently signed with Philly, which is really interesting. We'll see.
Who signed with Philly?
Loman.
No. I thought you were talking about Spilger.
No. She's clearly not leaving Chicago. So Philly is not green enough for Spilger. And never will be.
No, it never will be.
Philly is a dirty, dirty city.
They don't even have a recycling bin.
They have Jersey.
They have Jersey. That's the recycling bin. Jersey is Pennsylvania's recycling bin.
And trash can. We just put it all together.
They don't separate. Which is even worse. I mean, it's insult to injury there. We are so off track.
I mean, did you have more you wanted to say about the headshots?
No. Mm-mm.
So we want to go on to the other thing that the WPS unveiled.
Oh, yeah. Do it.
The WPS recently unveiled the WPS Fantasy League, and neither of us have really done Fantasy League stuff before.
Yeah, so all of your listeners can feel free to join our Fantasy League. It's cross-conference. That's all one word. And I think everyone can do better than I can, but I like my selections so far. I'll try to keep on top of things. So if anybody gets injured, or I don't know, sick for like 2 months, I'll have to switch them out.
Yeah.
Not that I'm calling anybody out about that.
Not yet.
No, I'm just saying, Bueller. So join our league.
You want to talk about your team?
By my team? No, I picked Aaron McLeod. That seems like a pretty safe pick, especially for the beginning of the season. Stephanie Cox, Kate Markgraff, Rachel Bueller, and Brittany Taylor.
That's surprising. Why did you pick Taylor?
Because I liked what I saw in the international team debut. It wasn't much, but I liked it. And she was cheap. No, and so in the midfield, I picked Tobin Heath, Megan Rapinoe, Sarah Huffman, and Lori Lindsay. Some of them riskier than others, I guess. I don't know. And then for forwards, I picked Christiani and Christine Sinclair. You want to talk about your team?
Well, geez, you picked like an actual team. I've got Nair, I've got Schnorr, Dowling, Dew, and Singer for my defense. I'm hoping that Singer still gets a starting position, but I know that Washington, you know, they've got a really solid roster. My midfield, I was going to pick Huffman. I was really going to pick Huffman, and I didn't. I picked Boskowski, Abley, and Christina DiMartino.
I could have sworn you were going to pick Sarah Huffman. Why didn't you?
Because of my forwards.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
I see.
I've got Chaney and Weimer and O'Hara for my forwards, and that's kind of weird for me to have two Boston players. You know, I think Chaney, I'm gonna hope and pray that she has better luck than Rodriguez did in Boston. And if she doesn't, then I'll switch my formation and get Huffman and just stick with Weimer and O'Hara up front.
Yeah, so those are our teams, and please feel free to join our league.
And beat
us. Cross-conference. And beat us. You will. You will. Make yourself feel good. Compose a team that, you know, totally makes sense, and you should have no problem.
Yeah, because we make emotional picks.
Yeah, we really do. I have a pilot at every position except for goalkeeper.
And if Carrie Hanks ever gets herself back on a roster, I will not be picking her because she just makes me mad, even though I love her.
No, because she may decide to, you know, go south again.
What's left?
I know, what's further
go
south?
Go to Bermuda.
Oh. That's about it for this episode.
Finally.
Once again, we want to select a player who is really shaking up the vertical in the Twitter space with really hard-hitting updates and just having a lot to say, a lot of good things to say and to contribute to the discussion about WPS on Twitter. It was tough. It was tough because I had my pick, which ultimately won out because I'm right.
You'll all remember that last podcast she said that I could pick the next one.
No, I said you would get, like, did I say that? I don't remember.
Yeah, you did. You pinky swore.
Pinky swore on the internet.
Yeah, well, as long as we're playing Playground All-Star Game.
Yeah. Though, okay, so it was very, very difficult for us to not select Kelsey Davis.
It was, because she now has a Twitter account. Everybody follow her. We love her.
Yeah, follow Kelsey Davis. Her Twitter name is at Davis Kelsey. It's all one word.
Tell her we sent you.
Yeah, but then we realized that she would probably win every week. Because if we were voting with our hearts. But we decided to give her own award, and that is, by we, I mean me, and I decided.
She overruled me.
Once again, a half hour before this podcast ended, we decided she is going to win the Kelsey Davis Award for Excellence.
The inaugural, first Kelsey Davis Award for Excellence.
The very first Kelsey Davis Award for Excellence, and she's the winner of that.
Yes, the cross-conference podcast applauds you, Kelsey.
I guess we can go back to who you chose, which was Karen Bardsley.
Right.
And
you shot it down.
I shot it down because her updates are locked.
Which
and
is
so
unfortunate.
I don't follow her, though she will allow people to see her updates, right?
I guess so. I mean, I think I was following her before she locked her updates. But she's been posting. She posts pictures and videos, and I don't know of any other player that's posting videos. Although Weimer posted one.
No, Ellen Massar.
Oh,
has she posted one of Spilger and Cristiani dancing?
Oh, right.
It's okay.
Okay. Yeah.
But I'm sure I would have agreed if I could have seen these updates.
Bardsley, you make me so sad. I could have won this.
So
one. You could have won this one.
Okay. Yeah, this could have been yours, Karen Bardsley.
I'm so sad.
It could have been yours. You had it in your hands, and you threw it away by locking these updates. And it's like trying to win Player of the Year by only playing in closed-door scrimmages, really. So think about it. That's how important this award is. And this award for this podcast is going to Kate Markgraf, who I think we can all agree has the cutest son ever. She posts pictures of him, and apparently he's in love with Marion Dalmy.
Who isn't?
I don't. I given enough time, I'm sure. And she, I think the reasons for this, for me personally, is her particular banter with Karen Carney, her teammate from England, who could have won this award as well if I understood a single thing she wrote. I think it's a special kind of English, I guess, it's the England English,
And you're from the Midwest, so really.
I'm from the Midwest. This is talk American. No. Kay Markgraf really, really doing some exemplary work on the Twitter. She's very funny, posting some nice pictures, the children and whatnot, and some funny things. Yeah, so Kate Markgraf, and I can't pick out examples right now because I'm not that prepared, but follow her at Markgraf15. That's MARKGRAF15 on Twitter. Follow her, and I mean, in many ways, follow her because she is the captain of the Chicago Red Stars.
And if Karen Bartley ever unlocks, she can win.
She can win the next one. Yeah. She could win she's practically automatically won. As long as she unlocks and I can see these updates. Because I'm sure, I agree with you for most things except for UCLA and Santa Clara and Carrie Hanks.
And Carl Lang.
And Carl Lang. Yeah, definitely Carl Lang. But most other things, yeah.
Yeah.
Good deal. So that's it. Ruth, where can people find you?
People can find me at Kelsey's Pajamas on Twitter.
And I am at Joan of Dark on Twitter. Thank you all for listening. Say goodbye, Ruth.
Goodbye.
So that's it for this third episode of the Cross Conference Cast. Please feel free to contact us, crossconference@gmail.com, or find our blog, crossconference.wordpress.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you again soon.